Visionary. Hope in Sight. Autumn 2026. A publication from the Centre for Eye Research Australia. This recording lasts for approximately 30 minutes overall. Contents. The Missing Link. Winning the Glaucoma Game. Saving Our Cells. What Happens in a Clinical Trial. Rethinking Glaucoma. An Exciting New Discovery. Celebrating Our Donors. A Gift in Your Will leaves a legacy of sight for future generations. Giving cells a boost for clear vision. Contact. Closing announcement. Cover image. Asher is taking the pressure down. Asher stands with his arms crossed. He is wearing a grey t-shirt and is smiling to camera. The Missing Link. From Professor Keith Martin. Image. Professor Keith Martin, Managing Director, Centre for Eye Research Australia, looks to camera, wearing blue shirt and dark blue suit. Preventing vision loss from glaucoma is all about saving a cell's life. Retinal ganglion cells in the eye that help turn light into information are the crucial cells threatened in glaucoma. Treatments to reduce pressure in the eye can help, but at CIRA, we know that there are better ways to rescue them and prevent vision loss for the 300,000 Australians affected by glaucoma. These are just waiting to be discovered. In the autumn edition of Visionary, coinciding with World Glaucoma Week, we introduce you to the researchers who are passionately working to discover new ways to save cells and protect vision. We welcome to CIRA Professor Pete Williams, whose research is focused on finding ways to give cells in the eye more energy to stop them dying. We introduce you to Asher Cosma, a young man who is a big advocate of CIRA's research and who has been involved in our glaucoma clinical trials. He lives with pigment dispersion syndrome, a condition that if not managed can develop into glaucoma. Dr. Flora Hugh updates us on the CIRA-led world-first clinical trial, which aims to discover if vitamin B3 delivered with current treatments can support cell function in the eye. Whilst Associate Professor Luis Alacon Martinez explains how blood flow has the potential to treat glaucoma rather than just manage it. These researchers are working tirelessly to find the missing link to detect and prevent glaucoma. With your ongoing support, we are closer than ever to our shared goal of a world free from vision loss and blindness. There is hope for the 300,000 Australians with glaucoma. With best wishes, signed by Professor Keith Martin, Managing Director, Centre for Eye Research Australia. Winning the Glaucoma Game. Image. Asher sits on the wooden floor of a squash court with his back against the wall. He's wearing a grey t-shirt with black shorts and is smiling to camera. There is a squash racket and ball beside him. Asher Cosma is glad he's stuck with CIRA and taken part in cell-saving glaucoma research. It was a Sunday morning in January 2020 when now 31-year-old Asher Cosma had just finished playing a game of squash with his mates in southeast Melbourne. It was a great session. We were all on our A game, but afterwards I felt a sensation in my left eye, says Asher. I went home to get ready to leave for a barbecue, and then the pain very quickly became more painful. I was like, this is not just like an itch, but I had no idea what it was as I'd never experienced that before. Hoping the pain would subside, Asher went to the barbecue as planned, where the pain quickly became awful and he couldn't see out of his left eye. I was a little freaked out and I thought, am I going blind? Have I done something to my eye? He says. In that moment, I started to appreciate the things that we all take for granted. I wondered what my life would be like without vision. How would I do my job? Would I be able to still play squash? Asher's day, which started with friends, ended in the emergency department at the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital, where he was diagnosed with pigment dispersion syndrome. It was an incredibly frightening moment I'll never forget. A day to remember. On that day back in 2020, doctors discovered that Ash's eye pressure was through the roof. Sustained eye pressure like this is closely associated with glaucoma, in which the light-sensing retinal ganglion cells in the eye die off, leading to vision loss. The emergency doctor also couldn't believe how cloudy my eye was, says Asher. The liquid in it was full of these microscopic pigments, which I would later find out were flaking off my iris, which clogs the drainage of my eye. It's then that pressure in Asher's eye rises and he gets intense pain. They put in some eye drops to relieve the pressure, which I still use to help manage my condition, and after 20 minutes, the pain subsided and the pressure went down. It's manageable, but it's an ongoing condition that needs to be taken care of. Pigment dispersion syndrome isn't glaucoma, but Asher is at a very high risk of getting glaucoma due to the pressure in his eye. I generally only feel very high pressure after an intense game of squash, he says. I've been playing squash since I was a kid, and it's an important part of my lifestyle. It's high energy, and it sharpens the mind. I find it almost cathartic. But at the same time, it's the cause of this thing that threatens my vision. Being able to understand the risks, Asher can manage it, for now. Asher started seeing Professor Keith Martin for managing his condition. He was then referred to participate in research at CIRA. Giving back. Asher's condition continues to be well managed, though in the long term, his vision is still at risk. Discoveries of new ways to help the retinal ganglion cells in his eye survive would be a welcome addition to helping him protect his vision. After participating in trials at CIRA to investigate new ways to manage the condition, Asher is grateful that he could contribute to research that has the potential to help people like him. CIRA has brilliant minds, great leadership and a fantastic vision. They need continued funding and generous donors from the community to support the amazing breakthroughs that mean conditions like mine can be diagnosed and treated, he says. Research discoveries just don't happen by accident. The simple fact is that CIRA is working towards everyone having better vision for longer and developing treatments that are accessible and affordable. It's important research that can help people like me into the future. Image. High pressure. Asher has pigment dispersion syndrome. Asher sits in a living room on a grey couch. He's wearing a light t-shirt with blue jeans and is holding a mug. In the foreground is the edge of a dining setting and other furniture. In the background are floor-to-ceiling windows with bright sunlight streaming into the room. Saving our cells. Image. Jumpstart. Professor Pete Williams is looking for better ways to fight glaucoma. Portrait of Professor Williams in lab setting. He's wearing a white lab coat and blue medical gloves. He is smiling to camera. There are racks of test tubes in the foreground and shelves of other lab supplies in the background. CIRA's new lead researcher, Professor Pete Williams, is developing treatments for glaucoma that go beyond lowering pressure. A concern for people diagnosed with glaucoma is the uncertainty about whether they will lose their sight. While current treatments that include pressure-lowering eye drops, implants, and surgeries are effective ways of slowing down vision loss for many people, they don't work for everyone and aren't addressing the root cause of the condition. Professor Pete Williams, who has just joined CIRA to lead our new neuroprotection and repair research program, knows that a better way to stop vision loss that targets the real cause of the disease is out there. Using eye drops to reduce pressure reduces the risk of retinal ganglion cells in the eye dying. But this alone isn't enough to prevent cells from eventually dying, Professor Williams says. With a career spanning the UK, US, Sweden and Singapore, he has just joined CIRA to continue his work that aims to find better ways for people with glaucoma to keep their sight. Revving up eye research. Despite everything that is known about glaucoma and the role that pressure in the eye plays, we are still trying to understand exactly how retinal ganglion cells die. While reducing pressure in the eye does reduce the stress on these cells, they can still slowly die and cause a loss of vision. Retinal ganglion cells in the eye, the cells that are damaged in glaucoma, are like an old motorcycle trying to climb a hill, says Professor Williams, and all the treatments we're trying in the clinic are aiming to get that motorcycle over the hill. Surgical implants are like paving a smooth road for the motorcycle to ride on. Reducing eye pressure is like knocking down the hill. And genomics is trying to understand exactly why the hill is there in the first place. But the problem is that even with all this help, a broken motorcycle at the bottom of the hill can go nowhere regardless of the road surface ahead. Professor Williams' research career has focused on how to target energy metabolism in retinal ganglion cells to prevent their deaths in several neurodegenerative diseases, including glaucoma. Before moving to Australia, his research has already yielded significant results. Exciting future. Together with research fellow Dr. Flora Hugh, who has been leading the work at CIRA, he has been investigating whether nicotinamide, a form of vitamin B3, provided alongside current glaucoma treatments, can support nerve cell function in the eye. I think we're at a point in ophthalmology research where everything is going to start progressing really quickly, says Professor Williams. I often describe ophthalmology research as being 10 years behind cancer and Alzheimer's research. Everything 10 years ago, when both of these conditions were transformed by artificial intelligence and big blockbuster clinical trials, that's where I feel we're at with glaucoma now. With the progress he has seen, Professor Williams believes that in the not too distant future, there will be drugs for glaucoma that are designed to protect nerve cells. In the next 15 years, I think we will have clinical trials for the first protective gene therapies. In 15 to 20 years, I think we're going to be looking realistically at stem cell replacement therapies and regeneration. What happens in a clinical trial? Image. More to see. Eye pressure is not the final word in glaucoma research. Dr. Flora Hugh wears a surgical face mask as she uses an ophthalmic camera on a patient seated in the foreground. She has long dark hair and is wearing a black shirt. Groundbreaking glaucoma research leads to international participation in clinical trials. The journey from an idea to a treatment in the clinic can be a long one, often taking years of testing, improvement, and collaboration. It requires the dedication and time of all those involved, including scientists, clinical staff, and people with an eye disease that work with us to test and trial new ideas and technology. It's these people, many of them who volunteer for trials, that help us work towards our mission to change the lives of people who are at risk of eye diseases like glaucoma, which is most associated with developing due to a build-up of pressure in the eye. It can sometimes be daunting to be part of a clinical trial if you've never been part of one before, but our team is here to assist you every step of the way, says Dr. Flora Hugh. Your contribution is what helps us advance our research to find new treatments to prevent vision loss. Dr. Hugh co-leads the world-first international clinical trials with Professor Pete Williams into harnessing the potential of nicotinamide, a form of vitamin B3, to power the cells in the eye and support the current treatments for eye pressure like eye drops and surgery. We have known for a long time now that eye pressure is not the final story in glaucoma, says Dr. Hugh. People can develop glaucoma even when their eye pressure isn't high to begin with. Even when the eye pressure is lowered, up to a third of people continue to progress towards blindness. If lowering eye pressure cured glaucoma or prevented its progression, then we would have nothing to research. Moving towards a treatment. There's been a lot of research done to try to understand what other factors may play a role in pressure in the eye, including aging, poor blood flow, and energy supply to the retina, says Dr. Hugh. This research includes initial work at CIRA that suggested insufficient energy supply and production was a problem in glaucoma. It showed that mitochondria, the energy source for nerve cells, are not working properly. Then, in 2017, Professor Williams and his colleagues found that increasing vitamin B3 through a daily oral supplement would protect the pressure on the cells in the eyes of mice. This then brought about the first clinical trial we did at CIRA, which yielded positive results, says Dr. Hugh. This was followed by another positive result from two other independent clinical trials in the United States and South Korea. And now the longer trial is occurring, which is a collaboration between Australia, Singapore, Sweden, and the United Kingdom. What happens in a clinical trial? For people in this current trial, all that is different to their normal routine is the addition of taking vitamin B3 tablets. Participants continue taking their eye pressure lowering treatments because vitamin B3 isn't targeted towards pressure lowering, says Dr. Hugh. We know pressure lowering is important, but our trial is focused on what else we can do on top of it to help people with glaucoma. Using gold standard clinical measures for glaucoma, trial participants undertake tests for peripheral vision, as well as scans of the optic nerve to measure the thickness of the nerve tissue. The results of these will enable confirmation of the effectiveness of vitamin B3 over time and are expected to be known in a few years. Rethinking glaucoma. Image. Time to get to work. CIRA's Visual Neurovascular Research Unit team, led by Associate Professor Luis Alacon Martinez. Associate Professor Luis stands in front of his team, a female behind him on the left and two males behind to the right. They are all smiling to camera and wearing white lab coats in a laboratory setting. The key to solving vision loss and blindness with tunneling nanotubes. Medications and surgeries to reduce the pressure in the eye are how glaucoma is managed, but the true underlying cause of the condition is still unknown. Associate Professor Luis Alacon Martinez and his team at CIRA's Visual Neurovascular Research Unit, who focus on how oxygen and nutrients journey to the cells in the retina through blood vessels, believe they are close to unlocking this secret, which has the potential to put more effective treatments in reach. We know that the dysfunction of the blood vessels, which carry oxygen and nutrients to the cells in the retina, is an important player in glaucoma, says Associate Professor Alacon Martinez. The most common target of glaucoma treatments is to reduce the pressure inside the eye. While current treatments are effective in reducing intraocular pressure, the death of cells, which leads to vision loss, still occurs. Our team is trying to uncover what is causing the dysfunction in the blood vessel's journey to the cells in the retina, says Associate Professor Alacon Martinez. We believe that the dysfunction found in blood vessels in glaucoma may be the result of tunneling nanotubes breaking down, those that were once connected and coordinated optimal blood flow in the retina. The discovery of nanotubes, small tubes connecting vessels in the eye, was made by a team of researchers which included Associate Professor Alacon Martinez in 2020. This has led to a focus on understanding what these structures are and how they support the journey of blood through the eye. We believe that these tunneling nanotubes could be a more fundamental cause of the interruptions and dysfunctions occurring in the blood that leads to cell death in the retina, says Associate Professor Alacon Martinez. This means that an important player in vision loss during glaucoma could potentially be the rupture of these tiny tubes. With the knowledge that these structures exist, The team are now looking to see exactly where and how these tiny vessels break down, and how these might be the key to solving vision loss from glaucoma. It's time to get to work. We now know that these tunneling nanotubes exist, and we know that blood vessel dysfunction occurs early on in the disease process, says Associate Professor Alarcón Martínez. Now it's time for us to get to work with the help of exciting new innovative technology to understand the exact mechanisms which cells in the retina communicate with one another to regulate blood supply. CIRA is the only lab in Australia which can leverage a powerful two-photon microscope to allow visualization of interparasite tunneling nanotubes, blood flow, and nerve cells in living tissue. Its power enables Associate Professor Alarcón Martínez and his team to recognize these tunneling nanotube connectors, which were once impossible to reach. Harnessing this technology could lead to us recognizing and understanding the foundational cause of glaucoma, and ultimately enable scientists to treat and prevent vision loss and blindness. Image. Important discovery. Tunneling nanotubes, in purple, connecting blood vessels in the retina. An exciting new discovery. Image. Team effort. Associate Professor Zichao Wu, Professor Alice Pebe, Professor Robin Geimer, Professor Erica Fletcher, Professor Melanie Barlow, Dr. Brendan Ansell, and Associate Professor Carla Abbott. The team stand outdoors with city buildings in the background. Researchers have discovered the genetic changes that increase the risk of severe, sight-threatening forms of age-related macular degeneration. A new study published in Nature Communications reveals the specific genetic factors linked to the presence of reticular pseudodrusen, deposits which drive vision loss, and are found on the retina of up to 60% of people with advanced age-related macular degeneration, AMD. The research, led by the Centre for Eye Research Australia, WEHI, and the University of Melbourne, offers a promising new target for treatments aimed at the most severe forms of AMD, including geographic atrophy. The Australian team led a large international study which, for the first time, pinpointed a key difference in genetic changes in people with reticular pseudodrusen, finding a strong link with genetic variations on chromosome 10, but no link to other well-known AMD gene changes on chromosome 1. Eye scans of people with this genetic variation also revealed a thinner retina, a finding that warrants further investigation. Study co-lead, CIRA's Professor Robin Geimer AM, said the results highlight that AMD is not a single disease, but a group of related conditions potentially requiring tailored treatment approaches. Reticular pseudodrusen deposits, visible in eye scans, have been linked to worse visual function and poorer treatment outcomes, she said. Our research has now identified which of the genetic changes appear to be driving this more serious form of AMD. This discovery provides a crucial lead for developing new drugs that target these changes, potentially preventing vision loss before it begins. A crucial lead. Co-lead Professor Melanie Barlow AM from WEHI said this was the first genome-wide analysis of the genetic drivers behind reticular pseudodrusen. In 2005, researchers first linked changes on chromosome 1, including the complement factor H, CFH gene, part of the immune system, to AMD, she said. Recently, new treatments targeting these changes have shown modest success in slowing down the disease. Our study is the first to suggest that reticular pseudodrusen deposits are driven by pathways associated with chromosome 10, but not by the well-known AMD-related genes on chromosome 1. This is a significant finding. It demonstrates the need to explore how genetic changes on chromosome 10 affect retinal structure and to develop therapies that go beyond complement factor to targeting to prevent sight-threatening deposits on the retina. This research was funded by a National Health and Medical Research Council Synergy Grant. Celebrating our donors. Image. Thank you. Peter and Joe Manger have seen their donations come to life. The couple stand outdoors in a treed area on a walking trail. He has his arm around her shoulder and they are both smiling to camera. We're deeply grateful to Peter and Joe Manger, who decided to donate now to Sera in lieu of their planned bequest so that they could see the impact their generous contributions make. After raising four children, Joe and I had enough assets to consider bequests in our wills, and we both strongly believe that those who can do so have a duty to be philanthropic, says Peter. Peter was the project coordinator for the construction of the MCG's light towers and the Great Southern Stand, an ocean yachtsman and a Rotarian. As a member of the Rotary Club, Peter volunteered to build a roofing factory in Timor-Leste. Joe had poor eyesight from the age of 10. With cataract surgery in 2021, Joe's eyesight dramatically improved. She now has 20/20 vision in her right eye and has discarded her glasses. But her left eye has age-related macular degeneration, AMD, and she needs regular injections, says Peter. It was when we met Sera's impressive head of macular research, Professor Robin Geimer, AM, and understood her important macular research, we decided to donate now instead of leaving our money to Sera as a bequest in our will, as we wanted to witness the impact we could make. After first making a bequest in our will to Sera, we then realised that it would be so much more satisfying to be able to talk to the recipients and understand the range of projects which need funding. We thank you, Peter and Joe, for choosing to make such a generous donation to Sera to bring hope to people affected by vision loss and blindness. A gift in your will leaves a legacy of sight for future generations. Image. A young girl wearing a jacket and a knitted scarf is laughing, with their head tilted back, capturing a moment of joy. The background is blurred with hints of greenery and lights, suggesting an outdoor setting. For a free copy of our Gifts in Wills information pack, or if you would like to chat to us about leaving a gift in your will to Sera, please contact us on 1300 737 757 or email giftsinwills@sera.org.au. Website sera.org.au/shine. Sera is spelt C-E-R-A. Logo, Centre for Eye Research Australia. Giving cells a boost for clear vision. Logo, Centre for Eye Research Australia. World Glaucoma Week, 8th to the 14th of March 2026. Donate to our glaucoma appeal today. Donate at sera.org.au/donate or call us on 1300 737 757. Image. Professor in laboratory smiles to camera. He is wearing a white lab coat and sits at a bench with microscopes and other lab equipment. Contact. Centre for Eye Research Australia. Phone +61 399 59 000. Email sera@sera.org.au. Website sera.org.au. Facebook sera.i, that's CERA.EYE. LinkedIn Centre for Eye Research Australia. Sera. Logos. Centre for Eye Research Australia. The University of Melbourne. The Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital. Sera gratefully acknowledges Australian vision researchers' support of our work and of Professor Keith Martin as Director of Research, Victoria. This production has been made possible by the Centre for Eye Research Australia in the interests of information accessibility. The recording was produced by Vision Australia, website www.visionaustralia.org. Care has been taken in the recording of this publication, but Vision Australia does not accept responsibility for the results of specific action taken on the basis of this recording, nor for any error or omission. This recording is copyright. No unauthorised copying, broadcasting or public performance is permitted. Your narrator was Rebecca McCauley. This concludes the recording.